Hello, listeners out there. Welcome back to the Anime Addicts Anonymous podcast, where we give you a straight shot of fresh-seeming anime crack to your addicted veins. And that was Lion from Macross Frontier. It is by Mayan, and it is the third opening to Macross Frontier, carrying us into session four.
Yeah.
All right. Still rolling.
Woo.
All right.
And that was our new host joining us, Ryoko.
Hello, everybody.
Hi.
Thank you for having me tonight.
Well, you're very welcome. And I'm Mitsugi. I'm still here, and I'm enjoying a nice cup of pineapple green tea in very anime fashion.
And this is Valentine. My tea is gone.
She drank it all.
I drank it all. So I'm tea-less, but that's okay. I'm gonna make it through.
I was having
vanilla chamomile, which might make me like pass out in the middle of this podcast. But you just hear me not talking. That's why. Blame the chamomile.
Give her a little smack, it'll wake her up.
Yeah. I hope not, because that would show up on the recording. Woo! Okay.
And I'm Chiaki, and as I always say, we have a great show for everyone listening today. We got news, we talk about our favorite directors who are not Miyazaki.
Because all of our favorite directors are Miyazaki.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And then, you know, we have our normal impressions, reviews, and whatever else we come up with with for...
Of things.
Of things. Stuff. Stuff about anime.
Things stuff.
So, yeah, we have podcast stuff, so news.
We also have a development before we go into news. We've started We've started a trivia game on our website. Once a week, we will post a new trivia question, and you answer the question by joining the forums and sending a private message to me, Mitsugi, with just the answer. Please don't share your answers with other people. There are rules and other things posted on the forum, but the way that we'll do it is there will be a winner every week, and then at the end of the month, we'll have four winners, and we'll do a drawing for a prize, and we'll mail the prize to you. And you can see the prize on the top page of the website, so...
Yeah, and also, the picture of the prize, it's on the top page, it has monthly trivia over it, so it'd be hard to miss. But, you just click on it, and it takes you to the forums where all the rules and everything is laid out about the contest, so... yeah, we'll talk more about it later in this week's question, but... So, our first agenda, as always, is current news and events in the anime world and the world from the land of the rising, the world from the lands of the rising sun. I can't talk tonight.
That's not really that new.
Aw, I'm sad. Okay.
That's newish.
Okay,
sorry. That's news, too.
Yeah, I can't talk.
And anyways. That's Chiaki's news.
Yeah, no, just kidding.
Just kidding.
Okay, so, who's going first?
I'll go first.
Okay.
Last month in Japan, well, I guess it was 2 months ago, but the data just came out, The Japan's finance ministry said that the country's current account surplus for June expanded, in other words, it improved for the first time in 16 months. It grew by 144%, or $11.86 billion for the month. And I say that it hasn't expanded for 16 months because, if you may or may not know, Japan's economy has not been very good lately. And you might wonder, why is this important? And it's pretty simple. It's because, you know, if Japan's economy tanks, you can kiss all your anime goodbye.
No more anime.
And no, that's money bad. Equals no anime.
It's bad.
So there is hope for the
equals anime. No fun.
What'd you say, Roko?
I said equals no fun.
Yes, that's right. I mean, yes. What are we going to do without our anime? We're going to cry. We're all going to cry.
Equals frowny face.
Yes, frowny face.
So there is hope. They said that a steep fall in imports was a key factor behind the surge in the nation's current account surplus. So, you know, I'm not going to go into it a whole lot, but it is a good thing that the account surplus increased.
Yay!
So that's the news from me. Why don't you go, Roko, since you're our guest host for tonight?
All right, cool. I have on a more crazier note, I have an article, man arrested for burning down home over Gundam models. Okay, I'll read the article to you. Police in Kasai City near Kobe have arrested a 29-year-old factory worker named Yoshifumi Takabe on suspicion of burning down his own house on Sunday. The suspect reportedly doused his room with kerosene and lit it with a lighter around 2:10 p.m. on Sunday. The resulting fire eventually burned down the two-story house, which is about 2,700 square feet and partially made of wood. And the police investigators say that the suspect had doused himself with kerosene, but had escaped the fire without injuries. His 55-year-old mother also escaped the house without injuries. And according to the police, the suspect said that his mother had gotten rid of his valuable Gundam plastic models, so he wanted to kill himself. This was directly off the front of Anime News Network, and I thought it was a little absurd that somebody would douse himself in kerosene over plastic Gundam models.
This is just a note to our listeners. We had to record this twice because we couldn't stop laughing.
Absolute absurdity.
Like, this is not really funny because we are dealing with attempted suicide.
Wait a second, ready?
My death size!
No! I mean, and there is the possibility that this poor person, you know, does have some sort of mental illness. However, if that is not the case, guys, please. I know moms are mean sometimes, but please don't set yourselves on fire over condoms. But, Roko, thank you from the bottom of our hearts for that news. I mean,
I thought you would enjoy it.
That was really,
yeah.
That's really special, and that just shows that anime is really important.
We're trying to make you an addict here, but for God's sake, no, have some self-control.
Don't carry it too far. Don't hurt yourself over it.
That person must have been listening to our podcast a little bit too much.
Yeah.
All right, so my news is not nearly as funny.
Well, that's a hard act to follow, honestly.
Yeah. I know, right?
But I posted it to the top page of the website, so I hope no one's like, hey, you already talked about that. But it's an American debut of Sensoral?
It might be Sencoral.
Sencoral. It's Sencorroll. And it originally debuted in, well, obviously Japan, originally debuted in Canada for the Fantasia International Film Festival, and then in Japan, and now it's going to be debuting in America at the New York Anime Festival from September 25th to the 27th. It's a film by Atsuya Uki, and it's 30 minutes long, and it revolves around essentially big monster attack the city. School kids have a second monster and attack first big monster attacking city. It's on Anime News Network, so you can look it up. I don't really even know if it's supposed to be good or not. But, it's making an American debut at the New York Anime Festival, September 25th to 27th. So if you are in the area of New York and you weren't planning on going to that, or even if you are, that is something to look out for, because it's kind of, you know, big deal. So that's my news.
Okay, so that leaves my news, and I want to actually make a small correction from last week, because, again, still
So my news is kind of old, but Ponyo. Ponyo comes out on Friday. And last podcast comes out this Friday, the 14th. And last podcast, I said that I didn't know who Noah Cyrus was. And certain people in their real lives may have childcare jobs where they may be watching Disney Channel for 4 to 5 hours a day because their children may be obsessed with it. So certain people probably should have known that Noah Cyrus is Miley Cyrus's little sister, Miley Cyrus / Hannah Montana. Certain people should have known that. and certain people also should have known that what's his name? Here, I'm checking right now. Basically the youngest Jonas brother is suing...
Who cares what his name is?
Well, I care because it's important because it's part of Ponyo, and Ponyo is important to me. So Frankie Jonas, the youngest Jonas brother, so basically Disney is completely capitalizing on their stars. But from what I can tell, their voices are actually really good. So the little Hannah Montana and little Jonas brother are the main voices in Ponyo. And I just wanted to clear that up in case anybody else was sitting there going like, excuse me, obviously Noah Cyrus is Hannah Montana's little sister. So so that's my news. Just remember Ponyo's coming on. I didn't really have anything other than that. I just wanted to... clear that up a little bit.
And it's on, just so everyone knows too, we went on the other day. It's if you go on Fandango and you search for Ponyo under movies and you put in your zip code and then choose the date of the 14th, which is when it comes out, obviously, as we said, you can start looking for theaters in your area, and theaters are already listed on Fandango. And I don't know if that's the final list or if they're still updating, but just letting people know that they can go on there and check.
I was going to say that we're in Orlando here, and we were lucky because Ponyo is coming to a theater near us.
Yeah.
So we will probably be discussing a word or two about Ponyo in the next... I believe it's Ponyo. Either way, we will be discussing that a little bit probably on the next podcast. I'm definitely seeing it on Friday.
Hopefully you guys can forgive us for our American accents. Ponyo. Mm-hmm. Ponyo, which is obviously correct. Mitsuki. It is.
Ponyo.
Ponyo.
So, who wants to talk about directors?
We all love talking about directors. It's our favorite.
Directors make anime happen.
So we get out of the way. We all love Miyazaki, as every anime freak does. And, I don't know, freak's a hard word. I apologize. Anime lover does. But there are a lot of other directors out there who are... I hesitate in some ways to say equally as good, but... let's say equally as noteworthy as Miyazaki, who might oftentimes get lost in the shadow that is Ghibli. So we are going to talk about some of our favorite directors that might not get as much hype in some cases or whatever as Miyazaki. And
they're forgotten somewhat, but we still love them.
Yes.
Right, plus you have to remember that basically there's also the fact that Miyazaki is almost kind of an anomaly in the anime world because all of his movies are such high quality, and you know, you may like a lot of different anime and by a lot of different directors, but we do want to note that a little bit.
Just go, I think I'll kick it off.
So I think I'll kick it off. Valentine already stole my favorite director.
I did not steal your director. We had the idea at the same time.
Actually, Chiaki stole my second favorite director.
I said it when we first decided this topic.
So I am picking a director who I also like a lot, and I feel like he deserves note, so I'm going to choose him. And that is Kon Satoshi. And I'm picking him because this man... I know that Miyazaki really doesn't miss very often when he's making his movies, but Kon doesn't really miss either. I mean, all of his last 5 or 6 movies have been fantastic. Some of his noteworthy movies are Paprika, Tokyo Godfathers, Ryojin Z, Perfect Blue, Millennium Actress, which is probably his most noteworthy film. He also had his hands on Magnetic Rose, and also Paranoia Agent, which was a series that a lot of people know because it was on Cartoon Network on Adult Swim. But Kon is, you know, he's really good at crafting a story in a lot of different ways. I mean, his films, a lot of directors will put out anime that all kind of follow the same type of sequence or all have the same themes or are all in the same genre. A lot of Miyazaki's films are fantasy, and a lot of them have an environmental message. or the other directors do primarily drama or comedy or slice of life, but for example, Coen, Tokyo Godfathers is a comedy. Perfect Blue is like a suspense psychological thriller. Millennium Actress is a extremely good drama. I mean, Millennium Actress has got to be in the top 5 movies ever. And his animes are just so beautiful. The animation quality is so well done, and the storytelling is just masterfully crafted. If you haven't seen any of these movies, I implore you to see them because they're fantastic.
Although some of them are a little bit, they're psychologically dense, and not, I don't mean that, like, you know, some stuff can be psychologically dense and be okay, but like you might actually end up being a little bit traumatized by things like Perfect Blue. Just be prepared for that. It doesn't detract from it. It's just you need to, you know, definitely read about them. Yeah, go into it knowing what to expect. But like Mitsugi said, they are like monumentally good as far as their content.
His storylines aren't simplistic. They're very complex, and like Valentine said, Perfect Blue actually has a rape scene in it.
Yeah.
So and that's not normal for his anime, but just know that it's there. So, but Perfect Blue is, again, it's kind of...
I think that was his first movie, wasn't it?
It's pretty old. I don't know if it's his first one, but... Magnetic Rose, he didn't direct Magnetic Rose, but he did the script.
Mm.
And I am almost certain that Magnetic Rose is older than Perfect Blue. Perfect Blue, but... Yeah. It might be the first movie that he did the full direction for.
And that kind of goes along the lines of what I was going to say, is just don't expect to pick up a majority of his movies and watch them casually. I think the only one I could think of would be Tokyo Godfathers. And even then, that has a bit of a complex story, but you can watch that one a little more casually. But a lot of his movies expect to put some kind of thought into. Definitely not the hard day of work, I'm tired of doing things.
Yeah, you're going to kind of have an emotional commitment that you're going to have to make. So just be ready for that if you want to sit down and do that. You know, it's not fluff, so... Yep.
But it is beautiful.
It is beautiful.
So who wants to go next?
Well, I guess I'll go next because, you know, Mitsugi said I stole his director, but I did not. So I want to talk about Tatsuya Ishihara, and Mitsugi's going to help me out a little bit because Mitsugi has seen some of his anime that I have not seen but that I know are good. However, one anime that he directed that I have seen is Fushigi Yuki, which I love, love, love. It's one of the first anime that I watched, and it's pretty long. Shaki, do you remember how many episodes it is? I feel like it's
Shiga
like,
Yugi? Oh, man. Hold
I feel
on.
Like it's,
I,
that's something it's like, at least 50. It's like 60 episodes.
Yeah.
But it definitely is epic. I mean, I would recommend it to anybody. This is obviously not a review portion, but I mean, if you really want something like that has a good story and a lot of emotion and characters that you can really care about, Fushigi Yugi is great. It's
a bit girly.
Yeah, it is a little bit girly. It's kind of getting on in age. But it wouldn't classify for a retro review.
It's 52 episodes.
Yeah, 52 episodes. So Tatsuya Ishihara directed Fushigi Yugi, which I love, and he also directed Haruhi Suzumiya, The Melancholy of Haruhi Suzumiya, which is another one of those anime that you're like, oh, it's cute, there's a dance sequence, oh my god, they're aliens and people with bows. And then you start watching it, and it's really not what you expect. And I think that Ishihara definitely has this ability to, like I said, make you care about your characters and also to just really kind of like flip you on your head every once in a while and just be like, wow, I can't believe that happened. That was so, the way that was done just really like got in, like punched me in my heart. It was like someone just got in my rib cage, punched me in my heart, and you sit there. And you're just like, wow. And I know that Mitsugi can tell you. I think he's talked on the podcast before about Clannad and about Canon, which I know that Mitsugi has watched recently. And also he, you know, raves about Air, which is really good. And these are all Ishihara. So this guy basically has some of the most just, like, emotionally wrenching, but good, like, in a really sweet, nice way, as much as emotional wrenching can be nice and sweet.
I don't know how getting punched in the heart is being nice.
Well, I know, but when you're a girl, you like being punched in the heart. It feels good. So
Clannad will make you spiral into a black depression.
Oh, yeah. The second season of Clannad, which I watched a bit, Mitsugi was watching it, and I just kind of casual, casually picked it up, as someone can casually pick up an anime like that, and started watching it with him, and I was crying by, like, granted, I came in the middle of the series, but I had no connection to these characters, and I was crying.
You came in, like, on the 45th episode.
I know. I was just, like, sobbing for these people.
Yeah. So, basically, Ishihara, he comes into your house, he slaps you in the face, and you thank him for it. You're like, thank you, Master Ishihara.
Thank you, sir, I have
we
another.
We appreciate that. So, basically, I would recommend to you pretty much anything that he has directed. If you really, like, if you can take it, if you can man up and take it, you won't regret it. You'll be happy afterwards, yeah. Even though you're crying into your, you know, into your miso soup.
One more thing I have to say about Ishihara is that a lot of directors will have, like, one anime that really makes them memorable. But Ishihara's animes, they just don't miss. I mean, if you look at the list of anime he's directed, I think out of, like, the 10 animes he's done, like, 7 of them are basically all-star animes.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah. This
man doesn't... I mean, granted, he's not like Satoshi Kon in that his animes are very... He has a very... The ability to... make very different genres and very different storylines. A lot of Ishihara's animes are very formulaic, but the formula works really well. I mean, and I gotta say, Haruhi Suzumiya is one of the few animes that takes place almost entirely in a school that doesn't suck. I just gotta say.
That's an overworked genre. Definitely
so
an anime.
Overworked.
So if you can revive that in some way the way Ishihara does, you're just worthy of respect simply for that. But can I just, like, okay, never mind. That's right. I'll talk about that in my retro review. Just kidding.
Okay.
So since we mentioned, you know, directors that don't miss, I feel like I should go next. My director is Makoto Shinkai, and when I heard we were doing directors not Miyazaki, he was the first one that came to my mind because... like I said, doesn't miss. Everything he's produced and made, and when I say produced and made, he does, like, everything himself, so I can say that, is amazing. He started, his first thing that he produced was a little short. It's 5 minutes long. You can find it on YouTube. It's called She and Her Cat, and he was the director, script, animation, and actually the voice for Her Cat, and it's a little, like I said, 5 minutes short. You can find it on YouTube. Watch it. It's really good. It's really cute for 5 minutes. And then after that kind of hit off, he did another work called Voices of a Distant Star. He drew a picture of he was working for – hold on. I'm trying to find it. Hold on. He worked as a graphic designer for Falcom, which is a video game company. And he was inspired to work on Voices of a Distant Star because he drew a picture of a girl in a cockpit grasping a cell phone. And that is a longer, it's like 30 minutes about.
Yeah.
And it's longer, short, full movie, I guess you could call it, short movie. And he was contacted by Manga Zoo, who offered to work with him to turn that idea into an anime they could sell. And... he quit his job as Falcom and started to work on Voices, and for Voices of a Distant Star, he was the original creator for the manga and director, screenplay, and animation, and did the voice of Noboru Teirao, for Voices, and then he did, after that, he did Egao, which means smile. It's E-G-A-O. It's an short AMV about a girl and her hamster.
We just watched a little bit ago and it was wonderful.
Yeah. And then he produced, again, slightly longer, The Place Promised in Our Early Days, which, again, he did everything for. And then, which brings me to my main title, which is Biosico 5 Centimeters, or 5 Centimeters Per Second, and this is his most recent movie. But I just want to read this off. For Biosico, he was director, screenplay, storyboard, art director, sound director, producer, 3D CG work, camera, cinematography, color design, and editing. If you buy the DVD of this, it's licensed by ADV Films. If you buy the DVD of this, there's in the special section, there's an interview with him. This man looks like the most disheveled, like...
Most geniuses,
like,
are.
Well, I mean, and that's what it is. Really, he looks like it. Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mean it in a mean way, because I'm singing this man's praises. I love this director.
Oh.
But he looks like he could just keel over from exhaustion. Like, his shirt is wrinkled.
So wrinkled.
Okay, I have to. Can I just say that I remember what Mitsugi said was before he played this clip. He said, or maybe during, he was like, "Doesn't it look like he put his shirt under his mattress and rolled around on it and then took it out and put it on?" I mean, and you know, he has bags under his eyes. His hair is wiry and a mess.
Stuff he does.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, and that's what I'm saying.
Man.
He does everything. Look for a video of this guy. He does so much stuff, and the quality of his movies, his stories are impeccable. I mean, whether it's a 5-minute short of She and Her Cat or a full length movie for Biosico, and I just, the animation, it's phenomenal. Like, I could cry how beautiful his animation is, and I just think of how much he does as a director. I mean, it even says on the box, he's being hailed as quote unquote the next Miyazaki, because this man is just, he's groundbreaking, and his stories are so simple, and yet they have so much emotion and meaning. I recommend anything you can get your hands on by Makoto Shinkai, get it and watch it. I think it should be on every anime watcher's must list.
Yeah, and the thing about that since we've been talking about how he does everything, the thing is that really makes him sort of transcend other directors is that it's not gimmicky. Like, it's not like, oh my god, he does everything, and that's like his whole deal. Like Chiaki was saying, everything that he does is such an amazing quality, and it really seems like an otherworldly genius that comes out of him. And with Chiaki talking about the simple stories, what makes his stories so good is that, you know, like, I don't know, some people could call them girly, I guess, but is the way that if you've ever, like, loved anybody, if you've ever, you know, been heartbroken, anything like that, you can relate to his character.
If you've ever had an emotion.
If you've ever had an emotion, there you go. If you've ever had an emotion, and he basically, in this really beautiful way, just draws your emotion out and creates something that you recognize as your emotion, but in this, like, lovely, overwhelming thing. And what I noticed as I was watching Replace Promised in our early... What is that called?
Yeah, Place Promised in our early days.
Is that the thing that Makoto Shinkai does so well is that he makes all the things that we kind of take for granted on a daily basis, like, you know, riding the bullet train, which we don't do, or just like walking in a field, look so beautiful, and it's almost like, wait a second, you know, does it really look that pretty when I go outside? And then you're like, yeah, I guess it does if I see it the way that he does. And that, like, his ability to make the everyday world look so awesome is, I think, one of his real gifts.
And he does that again in Biosico. The scenery is just, the scenery animation, it's all fantastic. And I think another thing he does with those normal things is he gives them a deeper appreciation. And I think that adds a lot of meaning, because it's like you look at Voices of a Distant Star and it's, something as simple as sending a text message becomes a world of importance, and
that's what makes Voices of a Distant Star is probably even, I don't know, might even be a little bit sadder than Biosico, just because. Did you tell them what the story is behind that, Voices of a Distant Star?
Oh no, I didn't. It's the story for that one is just, it's a girl who becomes a space pilot, and her and a boy have kind of a budding romance between them. And she travels in space, and she gets farther and farther, light years away, but they still send text messages to each other, which I'm not quite sure how that works, but I'm just going to let it be. And they still send text messages to each other, but the farther she goes, the longer it takes, and obviously the more he's aged, because she's so much farther in the future in light years that...
And if you think about what it would be like to be in love with somebody and then, like, to really get over them, because you don't know. I mean, you can send something out into space, and like you're saying, it takes years to get back. And it's like, if you've really gotten over somebody, how does that feel when you get a text message from them years later? You know, are you happy? Are you sad? And so you sit with that for a while, and you're like, wow, Shinkai, why do you make me so upset all the time?
So
I just want to say, as a final note on Shinkai.
Oh, wait, I had a final note.
Oh, you did? Well, yeah. I have a comment, then you can do your final note.
Okay.
I just want to say that while Shinkai has been hailed multiple times as the up-and-coming Miyazaki, the man is only 36 years old.
Yeah.
So, he might be a perfect example of the Japanese work ethic, but the man has 30, 40 years left in him. So how many more, and his films get better and better every time, how many more years, how many more films is he going to put out that are going to amaze us, you know, over the course of the next three or four centuries, or, decades?
I don't know. He's been putting out things since 1999, and I have yet to not be impressed.
All we can hope is that he doesn't work himself to death with his own genius, but, you know, if that's what's driving him, then maybe that's all he can do, but we'll certainly be watching for him.
And as my final note, I've, of course, him being one of my favorite directors, I look for any information I can, and Biosico was released in 2007, and he did that 2007, and then I heard in 2008 he went to London as a vacation, which I'm sure is well-deserved. But then I heard in 2009, now this is unconfirmed internet rumor, so leave it at that, but I heard in 2009 he went back to Japan and is working on a new unannounced project.
Sweet.
So, unconfirmed rumor, but take it for what it is. So that is Makoto Shinkai. Roko, your director.
Okay, well, I had to scavenge around a little bit for my director because Valentine took mine.
Oh, God.
Well, yeah.
I found one, and then I realized that I wanted to do Valentine's, so I had to find another one. So I did a little digging, and I found a director, Noriyuki Abe, has done about 25 or 26 different series, and a couple of them are my favorites, such as Banner of the Stars.
Sweet.
And Banner of the Stars 2, which a lot of people might know because it was shown on G4. I'm not sure if it's still being shown, but later on in the evenings. And he's also known for doing shows such as Yu Yu Hakusho and the movies for that, as well as probably a lesser heard series that is my absolute favorite, Great Teacher Onizuka. I like Noriyuki because I'm an extremely ADD person. I need lots of excitement and need lots of mixed up things in my series, whether it be fluff, serious plot, whatever. I found that he has a lot of different styles, such as in Banner of the Stars. I like how the series is very action-packed, but also has side kind of romance to it, suspense, lots of suspense in the Banner of the Stars series. And you see a lot of that in Great Teacher Onizuka, too, because you get into the series thinking that, oh, Onizuka is some bad person. He wants to be a teacher for all the wrong reasons. And then just the amount of character development in his series are just amazing, because you end up totally falling in love with Onizuka. Mm-hmm. And all of the students that are trying to do such terrible things to him also get developed. It's just, I love the character development and the excitement and just the unpredictability in a lot of his series. Like, Yu Yu Hakusho always had me thinking what was coming next. And I feel like I can relate to a lot of his series, such as GTO, or Great Teacher Onizuka, because I was watching it as I was in high school, and I was like, man, what if I had this guy for my high school teacher? That would be insane.
What if you're in your 40s and she's just 16? I'm in my...
Oh, no, dear sweet sensei. Not here, not... Oh, Yuriko.
I love you, Radish.
Wow.
I try finding more on the man, but the internet is... He does not have a website that I could find, and there just weren't a whole lot of facts on him. Oh, he also did Bleach, which is huge. I haven't really watched a whole lot of it, because it's not really my kind of series, but he's also known for, I think, series like Flame of Recca. I haven't seen that series, but I heard it's kind of a hit right now, but that's pretty much all I have for Noriyuki.
So this man's a seasoned director. He must like his privacy if he's not, if a lot of information about him isn't readily available on the internet.
Well, you know, right. Artists like their work to really speak for them.
Hey, if I was the director of Bleach, I would not want to have my phone number listed either.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh my gosh.
You'd have to have a big front yard.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh, man.
So, are we ready to move on to the impressions and reviews section of the podcast?
All right. So, I'm actually going to hit off our impressions. The anime that I am going to give an impression on is Tokyo Magnitude 8.0. It recently started airing. There's only 11, I think, episodes out. Not very many. But it was funny because Mitsugi for a long time has been talking about, you know, he's seen more anime than anyone knows what to do with. He's seen he's at like 250 something animes. I don't know.
Yeah.
A lot. So, I mean, he's always looking for the new thing, the fresh thing, whatever. And, he was talking about how he'd never seen a, a disaster anime. And I was, and then all of a sudden, as he was talking about this, like 3 days later, this anime came out. So what Tokyo Magnitude 8.0 is about is it's about an 8.0 on the Richter scale earthquake hits Tokyo. And one of the things that I find interesting is the creators actually did a lot of research in the prominent buildings like Tokyo Tower and the government buildings and just general buildings to see how they would stand up to an earthquake of that magnitude.
The Rainbow Bridge.
And because they wanted to create the destroy Tokyo as well as possible. So I can really respect that, and I think it's very interesting for that reason. But it follows the story of a sister and brother, and the sister's name is Mirai, and her brother's name is Yutaka. I can't talk tonight. So it's Mirai and Yutaka, and Yutaka, they come from a kind of dysfunctional family. Like, the mom works all the time, the dad works all the time, the marriage is kind of failing a bit. Yutaka is a bit too young to kind of really understand what's going on, but Mirai is old enough to, and she's a bit jaded, I think would be fair to say.
She's somewhat of a...
She had to grow up fast.
Yeah. She didn't, and as a result, she's, I don't want to say cruel, but she's kind of, well, she's jaded. So, Yutaka wants to go out to this robot fair, only in Japan, and Mirai ends up taking him, and while they're out, you know, it's recently been their mother's birthday, and they decided to get her a present, even though Mirai doesn't really like or appreciate her mother, and then the earthquake hits. And so it's about these two siblings essentially trying to get home, and they meet up with a very kind woman who's a motorcycle delivery woman named Mari. And this woman's like a saint, seriously, in the anime. But it's essentially trying to get back home, and it's really, they cut to the chase in the first episode, and it's really fast-paced and exciting for the first two or three episodes, I'd say. But then it slows down a little bit, and it picks up every now and then with tremors and stuff like that. But I think as the anime is developing, it seems to be focusing a lot on the good and the bad that's brought out of people in extreme situations, and what an extreme situation and extreme loss makes people realize about themselves and about others and the things they have. And I think that's really the direction it's taking. So my impression is it's a really good anime, and I really recommend people picking it up, at least, you know, until they feel it might be too slow for them. I mean, Mitsugi said that it was slow.
It's kind of hard to match the intensity of an 8.0 earthquake. I honestly thought that they were going to put the earthquake, have like somewhat of, you know, a little bit more on the characters, and then they would have the earthquake halfway through, and then they would show the aftermath of the earthquake. But they really, like, the earthquake, they busted out like right at the beginning. Yeah. So.
And I'm not so much on the anime because I've only seen one episode, but I can say that depending on how much anime you've seen and depending on what kind of genre you really like, sometimes it's just nice to take a break from things that are, you know, like really sugary, or because there's nothing wrong with that, you know, like a cotton candy anime that's fluffy and sugary and fun. But just, it's just a nice change of pace once in a while to watch something that really, you know, it's not like so emotionally heavy that you're crushed every time you watch an episode, but you look at it and you're like, these are like real people. And, you know, it's either uplifting to see them rising above their problems, or you can relate to their problems, or what have you. So I think that can make an anime really good too.
Yeah. So.
So good.
Sounds like there's a lot of room for character development in this kind of anime. I haven't exactly seen any of it yet, but I don't know how an 8.0 earthquake can be slow.
Yeah, no, it's true. I really think, you know, if you're looking for an anime that's really going to focus around characters and really have that as its primary focus, then I wholeheartedly recommend this anime. At least watch the first couple episodes and see if it's for you. And so Mitsugi has another impression.
So, but before I do it, I got to say there's something to be said about watching some of Japan's most famous structures fall over.
Don't ruin it, but yes.
I won't. I mean, you can probably imagine, but, you know, they kind of spoil most of it in the opening theme. Anyway, so the second anime and the last anime that we're going to do an impression for is Valkyria Chronicles, and I'm a little bit late on this one, much like I was in Cross Game. Valkyria Chronicles just released the 19th episode, and it's only a 26 episode series, but anyway, the plotline is, it's about these Imperial forces that attack a small town called Brule, and there's a character named Welkin Gunther, and he's the son of a general. And he and the Town Watch captain, Alicia Melkoit, and Welkin's older, his adopted sister, Isara, they basically escape the town that's attacked, and they join Galia's militia forces. And the anime is basically about the members of Squad 7, of which they are a few, as they work to repel the invading Imperial forces. And the anime is also about why the Empire is invading Galia in the first place. So it's a very war-based anime. And before I go into what I think about it, I gotta say that this anime is also a game for the PlayStation 3, exclusive release. I haven't played it yet, but I do own it. And I have been told by a lot of people that it's one of the best games on the PlayStation 3. So if you love anime and you have a PlayStation 3, you need to get this game. No questions asked. So I gotta say, it's a pretty solid anime. The art is stunning, and the animation is very good. The art kind of reminds me of Gonkutsu a little bit, without all the neon colors. They kind of do like the very texture based animation. And if you watch it, you know what I mean. I can't really come up with a very good way to describe it, but Alicia is the lead character, and she's the female, and she's very cute. So you have your cute female anime characters. There's some love stuff that goes on between Alicia and some of the male characters, so I think that the people that like drama and romance probably would like this a little bit. The anime is not perfect, though. I think that the problem with it is that there's not really a whole lot of a plot line. it's kind of a big problem, but I mean, it has the pacing is good enough that I'm not really bothered that much by the lack of the plot. I mean, I'm up to episode 19, and they really haven't touched on exactly why the Empire is attacking.
The problem is, it has no story.
Mm. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if the game will be any different, like in how they develop it. But right now, it's just been a lot of military battles.
We can also, I don't know if this is true or not, but it might be something like .hack, where if you play the games as well as watch the series, you get more information.
I have no idea. I have not. the .hack games stink. Anyway,
I would have to agree.
There's a free review for you right there.
There's a free review, free of charge, along with your other free reviews you're getting. So it's pretty much just battles. I really don't want to see the plotline rush into the last two episodes. It's one thing I always worry about when I watch anime is some animes are very slow and they try to cram everything into the last two episodes of a series, and that just kills it.
Like, I can't stand that.
Can't stand it either.
No, I hate that.
I mean, you've got to wrap it up and have like two episodes left for closure. Really, I think to be solid with it. But Valkyria Chronicles has great animation and characters. The action and the battles are really good. But you know, like I said, the plotline's not so great. So I recommend it if you can handle not having much of a plot past the battles, and it has that cliche undertone of the Empire is attacking. I don't know why it's always called like the Empire, but.
I do.
Roko, did you play Xenogears?
Yes, I did.
Kind of reminds me of Xenogears without the mech.
Oh, really?
In terms of, like, the country, two battling countries that are neighboring, and, you know.
That sounds kind of cool. I kind of like Xenogears a lot.
So Xenogears is like, fantastic, but.
And speaking of all these video games, firstly, I thought I should mention that at GameStop, you can get Valkyria Chronicles for $40, and you can get it pre-owned for $35. But people who have the Edge card will save
$350. Oh my god.
Wow.
No. But anyways, what I really wanted to say was, on our website, under review, we have a new section. It's video game reviews. It seemed like to make sense.
Anime-based video games.
Yes, it is anime-based video games. Either video games that were based off of anime series or like Valkyria Chronicles, where they kind of came out at the same time. So, just letting everyone know that's there.
So I'm going to end the impression section and go into the reviews section, because I've been waiting for it with bated breath.
Oh my
the whole
God.
Anime. Oh,
are you sure you don't want to save it for last?
No, I gotta do it now. I can't wait anymore.
Okay. How ambitious of you.
What was that, Roko?
I said you're very ambitious.
I'm very excited, too. I am going to review Kanagi. And I've talked
dun,
about... I've been talking about this on the forum a little bit. This is more of a rant than it is a review, I think.
Uh-oh.
I know. I'm sorry. I've got to say, I am going to be the rant person on this podcast.
Mitsugi's rants are quite famous.
And since I watch more anime than anybody here, you're going to have to...
That is a great way to
sit back and take it.
You're going to have to listen to my review.
Because I am so much better than everyone else here.
No, it's just that I have nothing better to do.
I'm the greatest.
So, okay, I'm sorry.
But I am tired of anime that like the whole world watches and they're like obsessed with it, and then I watch it and it's like the most shallow, ridiculous thing I've ever seen. I mean, when I picked up Kanagi, I picked it up just because people at Otakon wouldn't shut up about it. It was ridiculous. And I watched this anime, and it just really lets me down. I mean, I'm gonna explain the plot line, but it's about two sentences. And this is verbatim from Anime News Network, because I'm gonna use this later. Verbatim, an art student named Jean Mikuria carves a statue from the wood of the Kanagi tree, only to have the statue come to life in the form of a goddess who has taken over the statue. Her name is Nagi, and they work together to destroy the impurities that are gathering in the town. Bullshit. Okay? They destroy maybe... They destroy maybe two impurities this whole anime, and really the show is about nothing.
I got something I mean, to say about this anime after right. You're done. I'll let you finish.
Right, well... Nagi, the girl character, spends the whole anime being a pouty child. I mean, literally, this is a slice of life anime, but she spends, for example, an entire episode pouting in a closet because of something that Jean did to her. That's the kind of stuff you can expect from this anime. It's just senseless and mindless. I mean, what is the deal with the opening theme? The opening theme is the best part of the whole anime. She's like a pop star. It has a catchy theme song, you know, and she looks real cute on stage. But she doesn't sing ever in the whole show.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say. It's a lot of times, you know, obviously the opening is used to kind of, like, almost be a trailer to the anime to try to get people to watch it. But it's like, I felt so ripped off. It's like, she's like this pop star and she's perky. And there are a lot of really good animes with pop stars. Full Moon Wasukashite.
Full Moon Wasukashite is wonderful.
Amazing.
I mean, yes. I was begging. I mean, all right, this is the angle I thought they were going to take. I thought they were going to do the goddess can't have power unless people love her and believe in her, which has been done a million times. So I thought she was going to become a pop star to get people to follow her, and then she would get her power back for whatever reason. But it just never happens. I was begging for it. Like, I was begging for it to become, like, a pop star-themed anime. Like, Full Moon Wasukashite, Beck.
Nana.
Macross has lots of pop stars in it, Nana, and they're all good. And I'm not saying that's necessarily just because of the...
Well, not more rock, but yeah.
Whatever, they're... Yeah. Whatever. But, I mean, the show, it's like... The show, it's just... The sad thing is that it would have been better if she had become a pop star. Not only because it would have fit the theme of the opening, but I just think it would have had a lot better direction.
It would have been better if they'd have done something with it.
I think the animation's good. Like, you're going to watch it, and the animation and the coloration is fantastic. If there's any reason why you're going to keep watching this, it's either because you're, like, you know, a young teenage girl, or you love beautiful animation. And that's about the only plus I can give you from the whole series. I mean, it's slice of life, but at least other slice of life animes like Honey and Clover or His and Her Circumstances, they have a lot of underlying meaning or, like, a really solid love story. This anime has neither. I mean, it's just about Nagi being a spoiled brat the whole time, and that's about it. I give it 2.5 slaps that Nagi needs out of 5. Sorry for the rant, but I had to.
Alright, so what's...
I've got another anime.
Okay.
This is not a rant, so you can unmute the computer now. Mugen Wakusei Survive is an anime that I picked up while I was in Argentina. I was really bored in Argentina, and it's really unique. I mean, I actually watched like 20 episodes of it in the first day because I just couldn't put it down. It's about this girl named Luna, and she goes to a new school, you know, very typical up until now, but the school goes on a space field trip, because this is set way in the future. And on the trip, the big ship that they're in encounters a gravity storm, and they're basically sending everybody to the escape pods. Everybody's freaking out, and they accidentally release the escape pod that they're in right as the ship's warping to get away from the magnetic field, and it leaves them lingering in space, and the magnetic field sucks them in and spits them out somewhere else in outer space, and they get pulled into the gravitational pull of a planet, and Luna and her entire class end up stranded on the uninhabited planet. And that's what Mugen Wakusei means, uninhabited planet. And it's about them surviving being on the planet. And that summary only covered about 3 episodes of the 52 episodes that the series is, so don't worry about the spoilers. But I think the goodness is really in the plotline. I mean, it's really exciting. It's a really engaging survival story that has a lot of really interesting challenges for the kids to overcome. I mean, they come up with so much interesting stuff that's on this uninhabited planet. You know, a lot of them are really outrageous monsters that want to eat them, but there's some other really cool stuff that goes on. I gotta say, the animation and the coloration is just okay. I mean, it's about average for an anime that's about 6 years old. The anime came out in 2003, but it's really good. I think, as Valentine pointed out as I was watching it, I think this anime is a little geared towards children. It has a big emphasis on, like, teamwork and being in groups.
It teaches a lot of, like, I mean, I'm sure everybody, you know, who remembers watching cartoons when they're little, it is very oriented on, you know, these kids setting a good example and helping each other, and there's nothing wrong with that. It's just, you know, that's what it really is. Yeah. And I also wanted to just note that it's funny that the uninhabited planet that they land on is very similar to Earth and has air that they can breathe and lots of stuff that makes it totally okay.
Coincidentally.
You
can live there, exactly.
I also want to say, while we're on the topic, that it's kind of geared for younger children, and again, this isn't bad, but it's something to keep in mind. Because of that, too, you're not going to have, like, people dying in this anime. Like,
well
I was going to get to that.
Yeah,
so
okay.
Do they just disappear?
What?
Do they just disappear instead of die? They get lost and wander off?
No, they're essentially immortal. I mean, you're going to get that feeling. It's like, one thing that really bothered me was their ability to survive pretty much any situation, no matter how hopeless.
It's in the title, Mitsugi.
It is, but it's like, at least let some of them die.
That's terrible.
Some of the trials and tribulations that they have to come up against are pretty acceptable and reasonable, but some of them are just insane. I mean, like, they'd never live. By the end, they're all going to feel like they're immortal. I mean, really. And honestly, I gotta say, these kids are so resourceful, it's like ridiculous. If Tokyo ever gets destroyed, they could just set these 7 kids out into the wilderness with nothing, and they would rebuild Tokyo in about a week. And they build a treehouse that's, like, livable with a working shower. They make a cave into a house. They build a ship and cross the ocean with nothing. I mean, they have the ship, they have the small little pod they crash in, so they have some tools from that, but...
Yeah, but we kind of had a joke. One of the characters plays a violin in the anime, and it was something, I don't know, maybe we were talking about being thankful the violin didn't break or something because she was playing it, but we were like, it's okay. If they can find a rubber band, they can craft a new one.
Yeah, honestly, they must have just created this violin out of nothing. Because, I mean, she doesn't have the violin for half the series, and then it just appears, but... Really, I'm going to recommend this series if you like survival-type stuff, if you're into the whole Survivor Man thing, or if you think MacGyver is cool, because really, these kids are like MacGyver. I mean, I'm going to give it 3.5 toothpick and rubber band sets out of 5, just because
fantastic.
That's it. So.
Sweet.
It's really good. It's a little bit for little kids, but I really enjoyed it a lot.
That's what counts.
Yeah. It was good. So pick this one up. It's worth seeing. I'm done reviewing the animes, so I guess that's pretty much the end of the podcast. But just as a couple information points for you guys, Roko is going to mention a special episode that we have that we're going to release next week.
A real special episode.
A real special episode.
Oh, God.
Anyway.
Very special episode.
So, and we might do this once in a while. So why don't you go ahead and talk about it for a minute, Roko?
All right, so our special surprise for sometime following episode 5 is we're going to be doing an 18-plus episode featuring kind of like a panel-style hentai discussion and reviews. I know I will be back on the air, and I'm going to be reviewing three hentais, which I'm going to be watching, which sounded quite hilarious to me. The first one is called Booby Life, and it's basically about a young guy named Naoto who loves women of that type, and he meets a girl, and she ends up letting him do whatever he wants to her anytime he wants. So that sounded interesting. It's a two-episode series. Also, there's another episode or another series called Boobalicious or Milk Junkies, which you can kind of picture what it's about. But to those who can't,
no, don't
use their imagination. A young man, Wataru, basically grows up from a child to an adult, knowing these two women, and they end up taking advantage of that later on.
Oh, baby.
I know, right? And that's four episodes. And the last series that I'm going to be checking out is Legend of the Pervert. To be honest with you, I can't even describe anything about this anime in this episode because there's nothing about it that is PG-13 for this for this audience. So you all have to wait till episode 5.5, but it should be quite interesting.
Hentai Densetsu.
Yes, we'll have those and then a lot of other exciting 18 and up Japan.
And we're gonna swear just because we can.
Yes.
Yeah, I figure once you label it as explicit on iTunes, you can pretty much say and do whatever you want.
Yeah. So yeah. Obviously, unlike a panel, we can't encourage you guys, but it's gonna be 18 and up. So, yeah.
It'll be exciting and stimulating.
There you have it.
So
thank you, Roko.
Thank you.
Yeah,
Roko.
Bring it home.
All right. So, a quick shout out to people who joined our fan page on the Facebook, on Facebook. We have Renee, we have Valentina, we have Zach, and we have Aubrey. I know that's probably a bit late. You guys joined a while ago. I apologize. I noticed you guys were there though. I mean, I think I sent you all messages. But, anyways, so hello, welcome. Thank you for joining our Facebook group. We love you guys. And I also want to say, just kind of as a fun fact, as I've mentioned before, I am the web mistress. And we are up to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 different countries.
10 countries.
Have at least visited our webpage. At the top is Canada, followed by Russian Federation, followed by Australia, and then Japan. But one that I found interesting was we have Kuwait on there.
Yeah.
We visited Tunisia.
So if you are our Kuwait listener, we love you.
Yeah. Just as a mention again, we went out and I bought this month's prize from our friends at the Florida anime shop in Orlando. It's on Colonial and
it's near the intersection of Colonial and Mills.
Thank you.
Right by Bikuri and Lolly Cup.
Yeah. So it's there, so if you're in Orlando, we support those guys because they're a really good shop and they're really good to us.
They're really nice.
Yeah,
nice
they are.
People.
I also believe it's called Oriental Trading Company.
Yes, Oriental Trading Company, thank you.
Yes.
And it's a good store. And I mean, for anime stuff, the prices are pretty reasonable.
It
so
is.
Anyways, I got, it's cute, it's well made, it's tall, it's hefty. It is a Kenshin bobblehead. There's a picture on the homepage. It is adorable, and someone at the end of the month is going to be getting it in the mail. So if you want to be that person, enter in our monthly trivia contest. There'll be a question released every week where we'll talk about it on the podcast, and then winner every week, and then a random drawing for the overall winner for the month for the prize. So there are more rules on the webpage. Can click on the button that actually has the figure that says Win Me of the Kenshin bobblehead on the top page to go to our rules and where everything is. But for this month's question, we have a
picture question.
A picture question.
So you can just identify the character.
Yes, we will post the picture on the forums. Again, if you click on that icon on the top page, it'll take you to the forums and how to submit. And you need to join the forums to submit because we're doing it in private messages on the forums. So hopefully good luck to everyone. That should be up, I guess, by the time you're listening to this. So no worries. Forums is a great way to get in contact with us. The website address for that is aapodcast.forum.biz. You can also send us an email at host@aapodcast.com. Let us know what you think. Let us know what you're feeling. whatever. And we have a Facebook group, like I said, and our website, the homepage is www.aaapodcast.com. So everything links from there. You can get to everything else. We have YouTube, FeedBurner. So there's a bunch of ways to get in contact with us, and we hope to hear from everyone. So playing us out, we have one of the most, I think, iconic endings ever. It's fair to say. The Real Folk Blues.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes. From Cowboy Bebop. Artist is Mai Yamane. But, of course, everyone knows Yoko Kanno, too. Worked on it. So, see you later, guys.
See you guys later. See you next week.
Love you.
Keep it.